It is a chilly Tuesday morning, but then again on January 13th, that's what you should expect, right? At least I would hope for that. I don't want it warm like it was, and then we got mosquitoes and grass and all that mess. Anyway, highs of 57 today, 65 tomorrow. Then it cools off again, 51 on Thursday for a high, 64 Fridays, dry through the weekend with highs in the mid to upper 50s, so you can make your plans accordingly. Andranika Morris joins us now, president and chair of the Greater New Orleans Housing Alliance. Good morning, Andranika. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm okay. We're here to talk. Well, Happy New Year, if it's not too late for that.
Happy New Year.
We'll go to 15th. Yes. I'm going to make the deadline the 15th on Happy New Year.
I like that.
Let's talk about affordable housing. How much of a problem is it in the city? And first of all, I guess we need to talk about some, you know, because you deal with this every day. I've dealt with it before, but maybe some people don't quite understand what it is that we're talking about. A, are we talking about the city of New Orleans proper or the area? And B, how are we defining affordable housing before we get to how big of a problem is it?
So that's a great question, the way to start it off, Tommy. I love that, and I appreciate that. So number one, we are talking about New Orleans and the region and Louisiana and the country. But we live in Louisiana. We live in Metro New Orleans. So we want to focus on those. And that's how we've got a lot of the initiatives set up and stacked up. But affordable housing is an issue everywhere. And it's really extreme in Louisiana. And it's really extreme in the Metro area. And it's really bad in New Orleans. We have lost, in New Orleans alone, about 30,000 people in the last 8 years who've been pushed out, who've been displaced. And in the region, it's a bit more. It's over 40,000 in the region. And Louisiana, as a result of this, this is a challenge all across the state. Louisiana is the only southern state that's not growing.
Wait, so we know that we've lost 30,000 because of the lack of affordable housing?
Yes, correct. They can't afford to live here, and they're getting pushed out.
Okay.
Yes.
So how are we defining affordable housing, Andranika?
Affordable housing isn't a type of housing. It's a state for the folks who live in it. If the household is spending more than 30% of their income on their total housing costs, they're living in housing that's not sustainable. That's how people end up getting evicted. That's how people end up being foreclosed on. That's how people end up deciding to sell their home and move somewhere else that's less expensive because they don't have enough money coming in. That's retirees. That's people who work 40, 60 hours a week. That's people who are living with disabilities. There's a range of affordability, and it's individualized for each family. So that's when we talk about the need for affordable housing, that half of the people, for example, in New Orleans can't afford the housing. That's based on their income and what their total housing costs are, so their rent and or mortgage and their utilities. And if that's more than 30%, that means that they can't save. That means that it's not sustainable. It's that they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're living check to check, and it's not sustainable. When something happens, they get tumbled off, and things are happening, right? Beyond the disasters, we're also seeing insurance and utility costs skyrocketing because of a number of issues, and those are things that are upsetting the issues. That's why in New Orleans, we've got about 40,000 empty homes and apartments, 10,000 of which are occupiable, but the landlords can't afford to rent them. The homeowners can't afford to sell them because no one can afford what they have to charge. And they're sitting empty right now. And this is a loss of revenue to the city. Go ahead.
Let me just jump in for a second. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it would seem like an empty apartment or an empty duplex, whatever you want to call it, is like an unsold concert ticket. That's revenue I'm never going to see. So why would a landlord not rent, say, for a portion of what maybe they could get on the market? Why would they leave it empty? That makes no sense to me. What am I missing here, Andranika?
Well, you can bring down the operating costs. We incentivize vacancy in this country. You can bring down the operating costs. You can, especially if it's a business, you can book it as a loss because you're not renting it. You can apply
because of the tax advantages.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
And the operating costs. Like because you've got to pay the insurance on it. You've got to pay the upkeep. You got to make sure that it's not a blight on your neighbors. So that owner has to still invest in it. And if you can, but if you can't get enough money to cover those operating costs, the incentive is you can bring down the operating costs by leaving it empty.
So what's the answer to that?
Well, number one, the answer to that is we've got to address the core issue, which is insurance, right? We've got to talk about addressing insurance. And then we've got to talk about helping connect folks who can rent that property, who could buy that property to them, and the making sure that the numbers work, that those landlords understand what the issues are and where the costs need to be in order for the average New Orleanian, the average resident of this area to afford the housing.
So you got 40,000.
That'll make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, you got 40,000 empty. You got 10,000 that are occupiable. You got 30,000 that have been displaced. You see where that, to just the layman, would make no sense at all?
Oh, it is. It does. It is a big part of the problem. Yeah, because it's counterintuitive, right? We believe in market pressures, that because the market pressures would say, well, they'll just drop the rent. They should just drop the rent and lower the price. And the market pressures, like insurance, because insurance doesn't move like that. Insurance doesn't say, well, these people can't afford our insurance. We have to drop our prices, because that's not what their prices are based on. Their prices are based on the risk and the need for insurance. And so if you're a higher risk area and you don't have fortified roofs, you don't have the infrastructure investments, you're a higher risk. And the insurance companies will lose the money. They will, hey, you can't afford to pay what we require. They drop people all the time for that. That's a business pressure. That's a operating pressure that exists, that homeowners, property owners, renters don't have a lot of control over. And that's a huge business, and it's a huge industry. And they're able to do that because they'll just back out of a market and say, we'll go somewhere else.
We'll take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Andronica Morris, President Chair of the Greater New Orleans Housing Alliance. I understand all of that. I do know some things are fixed, like if you got a mortgage on the property, you're still paying that. So you would think you'd want something coming in to offset a little bit of that, but apparently not. I guess it goes to the tax code and everything else. 721 more when we come back. If you got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. I will be glad to entertain them and pass them along to Andronica Morris. Traffic now, WWL. All right, Tommy Tucker, 726, here at WWL, talking to Andronica Morris, President Chair of the Greater New Orleans Housing Alliance. Every time we have these conversations, I get a couple of texts from people that make this not a business thing, but a personal thing, and I never did quite understand that. Who are we talking about, Andronica, when it comes to not being able to afford to live in the city?
We're talking about people, right, you were talking about, in order to rent an average apartment in the metro New Orleans area, you need to be making about $25 an hour. So we're talking about people who make less than folks who make $25 an hour. That's to rent. And that's rent based on the cost that we have right now. So we're talking about people who make less than $52,000 a year, not able to make the math work on the affordability as renters. And we're talking about ever increasingly now, about 30% of homeowners are struggling with these skyrocketing insurance costs. And so those income levels, those vary, because you got a lot of people who are retirees who they paid off their houses. And they have pensions or Social Security, and the math used to work a few years ago. It doesn't anymore.
Right there, when you said the math used to work several years ago, but it doesn't anymore. And that leads me to, as I look at the clock here, Andronica, I want to make the most of our time. That leads me to my next thought, which is, you can't look at tomorrow or next week. You have to look at 5 and 10 years down the line if you're going to be in any kind of public policy position at all, or look at any
kind of
long-term solutions or to problems or trends or what have you. And I guess what I'm thinking is, as fewer and fewer people are able to get on that equity ladder and buy a home, it seems as though that's going to put more pressure on the rental market as salaries fail to keep up. With inflation, it seems as though that's going to exacerbate it as well. Talk about, am I on anything here or not?
No, you're right. That's right. You've got to be looking 5, 10 years, and that's one of the things that we do with our new Housing for All plan. That closed out our 10-year plan that launched last year, is what do we need 10 years from now to get to the place where folks can be stable and we can get back on a growth trajectory, because we want the city and the metro area and Louisiana to grow. We want it to be stable. We want people to put down roots and have families and retire here with confidence and decide to stay and raise their families here and not be shuffling around. And so and that allows businesses to stabilize and they themselves to grow and to keep pace with inflation and to build genuine wealth as a community. And that wealth is not extracting from its people. Its people have the wealth,
right?
And they have options and agency and all those things. So that's what we're talking about.
So
and that's how you do it.
People, let's say, let the market decide. What they don't realize is, okay, you can let it, you can go absolutely laissez-faire and let the market decide. But if you do, there's going to be a lot of economic displacement. There's going to be a lot of heartache, misery, pain, et cetera, during the course of that, and a lot of uprootment and people moving around and making choices that they maybe don't want to make. What would
That's
be
right.
the first step toward fixing this, Andranika?
Well, the first step towards fixing it is implementing in New Orleans. We've got our housing trust fund, and we need our CEA signed. It's something that the new mayor can do in our first 100 days. She's committed to being judged by stopping the displacement, stopping people from being pushed out of New Orleans. And we want to welcome her to that commitment. We're so happy that she's led with this as a priority. And she can get a quick, easy win by executing the CEAs for the Housing Trust Fund and getting the money out the door.
Thank you, Andranika. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Have a good day. Oh, and one more time, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk about what's going on in Iran and the Middle East and the protests that are going on there. Right now it's time for WWL First News, and for that we go to Ian Ozan.